Hello and welcome to Star Drop Tea.
Shush.
Oh, I'm being too loud. Okay, we're at a library. Hello and welcome to Star Drop Tea, a Stardew Valley gossip podcast.
I'm Hillary.
And I'm Shirley.
We're going to be brewing up stories, secrets, and speculation from Stardew Valley.
Shh, we're in a library. Please be quiet.
Yes, that's good. Combination library museum. Gunther is also here and he specifically requested that we really keep it down.
Yeah, Penny is trying to teach the class. Literally, one kid was being taught by birds. Can you calm down, please?
Please.
Please.
It's the least you could do.
Hi, I'm the mayor and I'm here to collect your taxes. Get the fuck out. Okay.
For what?
Everyone, be really serious now, please. Why do you take so long to record the intro? Because we never know what the fuck we're doing. Okay. Hello and welcome to Star Drop Tea, a Stardew Valley gossip podcast.
I'm Hillary.
And I'm Shirley. We're so excited to be here with you today.
So excited. And we're going to be brewing up some stories, secrets, and speculation from Stardew Valley.
Yay.
Shirley?
Yes.
What have you been up to lately? What's going on the farm?
Oh, since yesterday? Because that's when I last saw you. But for the viewers at home, and by viewers I mean listeners, because yeah,
this will never be a video podcast
for now. For this week, I've been having a wonderful time trying to figure out what's happening at the farm. So yesterday in the game, I was getting ready to go to sleep, so I was putting stuff away in all of my different chests and ensuring that I don't go to sleep with a full backpack. And I get a phone call while I'm in my shed. Someone's calling me at 11:50 p.m. Kind of weird to be calling someone at that time. Can you guess who it was?
I have a quick question. Was this in the game or IRL? Because either way, it's rude.
In the game, because IRL, I was asleep, so I didn't answer.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who? Whom?
It was Pierre.
That motherfucker.
Yeah. Hey, Shirley, it's me, Pierre. Okay. Thanks. How are you doing? Good. That's good.
How did you get this number?
Well, I just wanted to say that I appreciate your business, and I'd like to remind you that Pierre's General Store carries the best seeds in all of the Valley. Anyways, looking forward to seeing you at the store. And I'm just like, what? Why are you calling me at 11:50 to tell me this?
Yeah.
You could have sent me a letter like all of the regular people in town do. Plus, don't call me. You've got a family. And
yes.
I feel like I need to talk to Caroline. Like, I need to get that off my chest. Like, why were you calling?
Yeah, that feels gross. No, that's like a really, like 11:50 at night is like you up a clock.
Oh, how are you doing? Why are you asking?
Who cares? You don't care. We don't have to do this. We don't have to act like...
If you want me to know about a sale, if anything, this is the worst behavior that you can do.
This is the worst way you could have done it. Yeah.
Because now I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to go and buy seeds from you. I'm going to see what I have in my little chest area, and I'm going to go create my own seeds because I have that in my farm.
Yep.
So too bad.
That is something that I have gotten more into doing. Previously, my strategy, if you could even call it that, was to sell the produce that was gold and silver stars.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, if it was iridium, I would sell it, but I don't have it. Iridium produce does not exist on my farm outside of my fruit trees.
Oh,
just
really?
The truth. Yep. Maybe next year. Who knows?
Are you fertilizing your land?
Yeah.
How odd. Okay. I don't know why that's happening either.
That's a lot of judgment. Anyways, what I was saying was that now I've been taking my gold produce and making more seeds out of that, because gold produce gives you multiples of the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
So been using that, and then profit. Question mark.
I love that. And for people who are new to the game, earlier on when you don't have an ancient seed, you could potentially get that. There is a chance that when you're creating your own seeds, that can pop up from any produce. So that's always fun.
Mm-hmm. It's even fun when you do have access to the ancient seeds. Because
surprise.
I was cloning some amaranth the other day, and that's what I'm referring it to. I don't know. You're using the seed maker. I don't know.
Yeah, you're the clone machine.
The clone machine. The vegetable cloner.
Yeah.
So I was cloning some amaranth and ancient seed popped out. Delightful surprise.
I love that. And did you plant it immediately or are you putting it somewhere? What's your ancient seed strategy?
Great question. So I, for the thousandth time, am taking a page out of your book and am saving up my ancient seeds. I, step one, populated my entire greenhouse with ancient fruit.
Yes.
Finished up all the star fruit that was in there and then have rotated my crop and filled that out with ancient fruit, and then went ahead and continued making seeds out of those fruit and have been saving those up to then plant those on Ginger Island.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And then, because you mentioned that you had done that, Brilliant. And so one thing that I want to ask you about before we get into today, which I'm especially excited about today's conversation, yes, is you mentioned earlier that you don't like to go to bed with a full backpack.
I try not to, unless I'm running it real close that I have to go to bed.
An organizational queen. Mm-hmm. I really, not right now, but I want to get into your like storage strategy, but I want to talk about that a different time. Quick question. Do you find that it is a whole ordeal to even prepare to go to Ginger Island? Or is that just because I am still using the boat to go to Ginger Island and not hoarding? Right? Like I'm like preparing for like several days to get my situation right in order to bring the appropriate items.
Well, considering you do not want to have an obelisk on your farm for aesthetic reasons, I believe. Bad. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's definitely a lot more work. But even if you take the boat, the main thing I suggest is to just build a chest that is over there so you can keep some items. And then what I have done in the past too is that I would keep my like lower level things. So if I had weapons or something that potentially I might forget on my main farm, they would still be accessible on Ginger Island if I was going to go to the volcano. And that really helped as well.
Okay, fair. Yeah, I think this is just an obelisk problem that I'm having, which I am coming around to the idea of obelisks, but the main barrier continues to be that I just cannot find any more dragon fangs. Just can't find them. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they are.
Did you end up trying the fish?
No. Stingrays?
Yes. You gotta put them in your little fish lake. That's not the technical term, but I'm forgetting. And
if the stingray fish pond? Do you mean this?
The fish pond. Thank you. And yeah, eventually they will give you dragon teeth.
Okay.
Dragon tooth.
Herd chef. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyways, all that said, folks, today we have a long-awaited episode. We are doing another mailbag.
Mailbag.
Girl. We are popping open that mailbag or opening it or whatever the mechanism it is.
We are clicking on the device.
We are.
My mouse is saying, would you like to see this? Yes. Squeak. I'm super excited because when we did our very first mailbag, we had a total of 4 letters. And when I tell you that I was so excited because if I already said this already, too bad, I'm saying it again. I normally don't write any emails. If I write an email, I'm complaining to someone. And so then the fact that we've gotten multiple emails that are positive sentiment of people saying that they've really enjoyed the podcast is just so sweet. And since the last episode, we've actually also gotten a couple people to send us photos of their farm and different things that are happening. And it's just really sweet to see what everyone's different farm situation looks like as well.
Yeah, it's just been incredible. I mean, like we started this podcast because we just wanted to talk shit about this video game that we love so much. And seeing the community around this game and being able to become active members of the community has been such a beautiful experience. But that being said, folks, if you do have complaints for us, write in stardropteapodcast@gmail.com. Why not?
Sure, I'll take them. And I appreciate all feedback anyways. I am really excited to talk about this very first email that we have on the list. This is from a short-time listener, immediate devotee. So thank you very much. We start off with Hi Farmers, which I think is a really beautiful intro that a lot of people greet us with. So I appreciate the continuity from different people. Hi Farmers, I'm deep in my first ever perfection run of Stardew Valley and was looking for additional ways to indulge the fixation when I found your podcast. So naturally, I have binged it in the last few days and had a great fun hearing your theories and learning about all the interactions I've been missing out on, especially screeching at some of your picks for the movie cast. A classic Daniel Radcliffe as a weird little guy. Are you kidding me? No, we're not. We're not kidding you.
We're not kidding.
I also just got to a line of dialogue where Caroline casually mentions that she used to go visit the wizard in secret, so I am all in on the idea that he is Abigail's biological father. Really enjoyed this last episode and the different perspectives on perfection because I do really agree with how limiting and harmful the very concept is, and it's a bit odd how much of a 100%ing the game is tied to that. But I also did agree with what Shirley said. That's me. Hello. about using that as a motivation to really lock in, and in my case, focus on making full friendships with all the villagers despite not caring about some of them at all. Clint. Also, oh my god, the Simon Says puzzle on Ginger Island, I fully had to take a video of my screen to play it back, and I still took 4 or 5 attempts to complete it. So excited to be along for the ride for future episodes. This is such a fun podcast. P.S. I love Krobus too. And may I suggest Lauren Ambrose for Robin. Incredible.
Great email.
Yes, thank you so much. They did not provide their farm name, but their name is Katie. So thank you so much, Katie.
So I want to just point out the brag that was actually in there. I don't know if you caught it. Still took 4 or 5 attempts.
Mm-hmm.
4 or 5? I was working on that thing for... I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, Katie, I just want you to know that I very likely took about 10 tries minimum. So,
I don't even know. Like, that was like just truly something that I had attempted a few times and then was like, well, I'm going to throw my console at the window. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go do something else because this game is supposed to be fun. And I starting to not have as much fun.
I quit the game for a little bit because I got so upset about that game. And I just felt like I'm not going to be able to complete it. I don't know where all of the golden walnuts are. Forget this game. I'm out. And I left.
Yeah, valid.
And then I came back. Yeah.
And then you came. Yeah, welcome back. Truly, I didn't even realize that I had found all the golden walnuts. And I just attempted to walk into the walnut room or was just like checking up on it. And then I was in. I don't know. Very strange. But anyways, I'm so thrilled.
That doesn't mean that you have all the walnuts.
It means that I got into the walnut room.
Yes, you had a certain amount to get in.
Sufficient walnuts.
You had sufficient walnuts. Anyways, I want to just point out a couple of things here. Everyone keeps talking about the show Yellow Jackets, and I need to watch it clearly because Lauren Ambrose as Robin, when I saw the image, I was like, yeah, of course. Again, redhead. Important.
Yeah, Lauren Ambrose 100% has my heart since she was in 6 Feet Under. Like, just her face and her hair and just everything she does. Beautiful. Beautiful, stunning.
Yeah, I definitely think she'd be incredible. And I really appreciate the continuation of our conversation about perfection. I know that it resonated with quite a few people of just how difficult it is to continuously strive for something that is not really attainable. Yes, even in the game, you can attain perfection, but then it continues. So it's also telling you, like, you're never done kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's essentially like doing your best and still getting a 3. On that performance review. So thank you for tuning in, Katie. I hope that you get exceptional wherever you are. Even if you work for yourself, you earned it. So,
especially if you work for yourself.
Especially work for yourself. You definitely earned it.
Okay. I'm going to read the next email. Hello, longtime listener, Farmer Dorian of Ophelia Farm writing in. Gorgeous. Gorgeous. I just thought I'd drop a message into your inbox to tell you guys how much I love the podcast. Thank you. Truly incredible the work you two are doing. I stumbled upon the show while looking for something to listen to while I'm playing Stardew, only to find you. It absolutely made my day. Anywho, while I'm here, I'd like to share some potentially boiling hot gossip.
Ooh.
Ooh. Recently, I started a new save to attempt a JoJo run. Okay, yes. I'm here for this.
Mm-hmm.
When I spotted something really interesting in the opening cutscene. While speaking to Grandpa, I was looking around the room just to see if there was anything interesting I hadn't noticed before. Lo and behold, upon the mantle rests a picture of a woman with a reddish dress and white hair, damningly similar to that of Evelyn. What do we think? Perhaps an affair? Unrequited old people love? Love. Love exists at all ages for everybody.
It really does.
Anyways, thank you both so much for creating this podcast. It is truly phenomenal. So keep up the good work. Sincerely, Dorian. Thank you, Dorian.
Thank you so much.
That's so nice. Beautiful name. Beautiful name. Mm-hmm. Beautiful farm name, first of all. And yes, I did we call that out when we first did the rewatch of that cutscene?
I don't believe we did.
Boiling gossip.
Mm-hmm.
Hot, 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 hot. What do you think? What do you think, Shirley?
Since Dorian sent this email, I have tried to restart a farm. And then I say tried just because I didn't go through with it. I was like, I can't have another save. But I watched some videos of it. And it definitely looks like it could be Evelyn. The other thing is, obviously, it's an old picture frame, so it could just be his kid. Because we don't know, and I do believe we talked about this last time, Grandpa is from mom or Grandpa is from dad. Not crystal clear from, like, how we're related to Grandpa.
Okay. Yeah.
It could be mom. Who knows? But let's go the route with Evelyn. What do you think? Did Evelyn potentially have an affair with Grandpa while George was off working?
Was off getting exploded in the mines?
And was also potentially in the war, because he talks about it, I think? Or is that only Kent? Was Grandpa in the war? Or was only in the mines?
I don't know. Folks, was Grandpa in the war? Write in stardroptpodcast@gmail.com. Truly. Oh, there's like so many bizarre things that I just looked up Stardew Valley opening cutscene and I'm looking through the images here. A lot of weird stuff. There's something called a Grandpa bed mod. Explain. And we don't have time for that, but I will be looking into that and have an upcoming mods episode.
Yeah, please add
modding
that.
Mods. Yeah, I will. This is very intriguing, folks. And I believe we got some other emails about this type of speculation as well. So keep them coming.
We sure did.
Yeah, keep them coming. What do we think?
I think that they were potentially together. And that would make it so that, again, we come into the farm because Grandpa lets us know that we have it. But it feels like there might be an animosity towards our grandpa as well. And I don't know what he did while he was there, but he was up to some shit.
Clearly.
Do you think that they were together?
I think it's plausible, especially number one, the number of people in the town. Two, the number of people in the town who are in that age group. Yeah, I think so. I mean, Evelyn, like I've said before, like she seems like she's baking. She's baking it up. She's whipping up all kinds of cakes, cookies, breads, etc. And I feel like George is really bringing her down. And there's a lot of complicated feelings there. If we are, well, now I'm thinking like, so could this mean that we are related to Alex?
Yeah, that's how it starts getting really weird. If we're also dating people who we might be related to, and like all of the ways that people are related to each other is starting to get.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Very small town. Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to small towns, though.
Shout out to small towns and all of that. But I hope we're not. That would be my wish.
Yeah. I mean, not only just because I hate that guy, but yikes.
Yeah. Wait, what guy?
Alex.
Oh, I was like, Grandpa?
I mean, Grandpa didn't seem great either. Shirley, do you want to read the next one?
I will. This one comes from a dear, dear friend of mine. I love you so much. I hope you're having a great day. This is for a potential tinfoil hat edition part two. Hi, Stardrop team. Longtime listener. First time writing in. I don't play Stardew Valley, which is so cool. I'd love when people write to us and they don't actually play the game. But I love a gab and giggle, and y'all are truly providing. What with all of the speculation and lore of what actually seems like a truly fun game, I contemplate playing it myself sometimes. A couple of episodes ago, Tinfoil Hat Edition, y'all were talking about the Green Rain. What a wild thing to have in a rural area, despite its benefits. Either way, it stuck with me, and today I saw an Instagram post about an acid rain happening around the world and how they're becoming much worse. Please see here. So I'm clicking on that Instagram page, and it's from a potentially reputable source. I'm not going to figure that out right now, called Science, saying there's a new type of acid rain that is spreading across the globe, and it's much scarier than the first. This really sounds like the game. The sky no longer rains water, it rains warnings. With every storm, there's toxin called blah, 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 and so that's happening across the world. Anywho, back to the email. Okay, time to put that tinfoil back on, because what the heck? They used an image with green rain, and immediately my first hat was on, because why? Because the actual acid rains are doing the absolute opposite IRL than in the game. Could the reality of our universe eventually change gameplay for future versions? Beats me, but I would be really interested to hear if it does end up doing so. Anyway, love the podcast. It gets me through my work, and I can't wait to see how it goes and grows. I love that very much.
Aw. Okay, yeah. Crinkle, crinkle.
Crinkle, crinkle. Is the game affecting IRL?
Is art imitating? No. Is life imitating art?
One of them is imitating the other.
Are they copying each other?
Are they in the clone seed maker?
Cahoots?
In cahoots? Yeah. But very wild. As I continue playing the game, it feels like more and more the characters have just forgotten about it. And I guess I'm enjoying it for the fruits that it provides, which is just a lot of fiber. But if it is still potentially actually just acid and destroying the lands, I really hope one day we find out.
Sorry, you got me with the whole fruits and fiber pun. I don't know if you, we, I mean, folks, we're on video with each other right now, but yeah, that got me. The fruits that it, yeah. I mean, I love Green Rain Day. It is such an awesome time for gathering, like you said, Shirley, for getting your fiber, getting your 5 to 10. And yeah, getting fiber, getting moss, and because especially fiber is really helpful for things like the Statue of Blessings, because you need so much of it. Like you need like almost 1,000 fiber, I believe. So, and it, yeah, great for fabrication. So folks, get out there with your scythe on Green Rain Day.
Who cares what's happening to you as long as you get your fiber?
I seem fine. My health bar remains untouched.
Exactly. And the doctor that you're definitely not in a relationship with is telling you that you're good too because you're providing funds.
Yeah, exactly. What could go
Everything's
wrong?
Everything's normal.
Everything is fine. Okay? Everyone relax. Okay.
Thank you. We're in a library.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Wow. Incredible. Yeah. The kind of news around like new kinds of acid rain, that's exactly why I keep coming back to the beautiful world of Stardew Valley and similar. Okay, next email titled Abigail's Parentage, a hot, hot topic in the emails as well. Okay, so this one is from Mia. Mia says, long time, parentheses, 1 week, listener. Great, welcome. First time caller. Dying to know your guys' take on the fan theory that the wizard, not Pierre, is Abigail's biological father. Can provide more proof upon request. One, the hair, which Abigail claims she doesn't dye. Two, Caroline saying she used to love taking long walks through the woods in her youth. And three, Caroline mentioning that Pierre has a serious jealousy problem. Yikes.
But he calls me at 11:50 p.m. So, okay.
Yeah, really. Yeesh. Side note, my name is Mia and I'm a writer. My first book just came out this year. Okay, published author. Woo. Okay. Maybe if you're comfortable, drop the title. We would love to hype people up on the pod.
Yes, I'll put that in the show notes.
Okay, perfect. Oh, yes, because we did get a little bit of correspondence here. Mm-hmm. Folks, when you write in, stardroptpodcast@gmail.com, we will write back. We're chatty.
Yeah.
We love chatting, if that's not clear from the fact that we are here right now.
I'm a yapper with my words and on the keyboard.
I'm a yapologist. PhD. Okay, back to this. And I'm also a huge Stardew addict, girl same. And they sent us some photos.
Yes, they sent another follow-up email. Because when this first email came out, I think we had just released the Wizard episode. So it was really cool that Mia was in tune with what we were doing. Because immediately after sending that first email, they listened to the newest episode.
Love. Okay, so they have sent a screenshot of their farm. So this, Shirley, what map is this one?
This is the river farm type, I believe.
Okay, a lot of water.
A lot of water. A lot less area to actually grow food. So if you don't like really doing that part, that can be fun. And if you like fishing, this is the one to do. If you don't like fishing, I wouldn't recommend it. Maybe don't pick it. Really, really neat. I have never played this farm type, but just looking at it, I love all of the little bridges that there are. And also, I see the potential for getting lost real quick.
Yes.
And having difficulty getting back to your actual bed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You could be conking out far from home. Yeah, because the travel paths are so limited. That's very interesting. And one thing that jumped out to me immediately was very few trees. Very, very few trees on this map, which could also have been a choice.
Yeah, who knows? Because we've talked about, in my first run, I destroyed the entire countryside because I was like, oh, they'll come back. Nothing came back. And I didn't plant them either. I didn't even know that was happening. So no idea. But Mia, this looks really cute. The farm that they also sent us is in the winter. And winter, every season of this game is really beautiful. And winter on a river lake could be really fun. Also, maybe in 1.7, part of the lake freezes over so you can go ice skating. Oh, new thing. I would love to go ice skating. That'd
love be to go so ice skating. Cute. Yes. And I mean, we do have ice fishing, I believe, in the winter festival of ice.
Yes. The event that's like 1 minute or so. And then if you play that, that's in the day's done.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Another trap. Yeah. Ice fishing. That could be really fun. Oh, what about swimming? What about swimming? Remember when Animal Crossing introduced swimming?
Mm-hmm.
My sister and I were such big Animal Crossing fans. We lived really far away from each other when that was very popular at the start of the pandemic. And we were screaming when that, like the trailer came out where the villager dives into the water.
It was so amazing. We were also playing the game at the same time because if it wasn't a video game, I was going to lose my ever loving
mind
our apartment. And they saved my life. So really grateful to be here today because of games like Animal Crossing and Stardew Valley. Yeah. There's this, another photo that Mia sent over of her little character and the kitchen. Can you describe it? It's really adorable. Oh, it's like a studio apartment. I'm liking the vibe. Yeah. I'm liking it.
Mm-hmm. There's so much here. It number one, couldn't be cuter. Number two, they have like a cute headband on or something. Like they have blue hair. They have what appears to be Luigi-style overalls on. Yes. But they have like a little headband in there. But the way, because it's, of course, like the low-poly rendering, it kind of, to me, looks like they have like little purple highlights. It's
I can see that.
Because the headband itself is purple and then the bow is green.
Like tinsel hair.
So cute. So cute. And then I'm just like, I have like cute aggression right now because there's literally a fairy hovering above their head.
I have not found that trinket yet. I cannot wait when I do.
I also have not found that trinket. I don't know what I have to do.
You have to keep fighting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You don't have to tell me twice. There's so many cute little details in this house. I love the fact that every corner seems to be really well considered. It feels like everything is in its place on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a cozy fireplace with a really cute green rug, a teddy bear, sweet little phone table so you can get your late night calls from your secret lover, Pierre.
Oh my God, please no.
There's a couple of nice house plants, big, gorgeous window right next to the fireplace, giving lots of beautiful natural light right onto that plant. The blue bed, and then that big, gorgeous landscape photo that's, I think, is that two? It's like two squares wide.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, mm-hmm. At least it's the full width of the bed.
Yeah, and the bed, I think, is like queen size.
Yeah, really beautiful. And then there's sort of like a credenza at the foot of the bed and another plant. There's a cute little TV zone with yet another beautiful, I don't know if that's a plant or flowers in a vase. Either way, love. A couple sort of nautical porthole style windows. Surely.
Mm-hmm.
A map.
Yeah.
Hold on. What do you think that map is of? Think about it.
Not Pangea. So
if it's not Pangea, I don't care.
I don't care and I don't know. And you know, what you don't know about Pangea?
Oh no, I love her. Bring Pangea back.
Unfortunately, I think we might. Anyways, I think that the larger part of the map could be Stardew Valley, Suzu City, because Stardew Valley is a region. Because we are in Pelican Town. And then Suzu City is like the larger town. Then there's Calico Desert, there's Ginger Island, and other places. Is Stardew Valley like the state? Is it the city?
I feel like Stardew Valley is the region. And the county? If you want to use that terminology, I'd be comfortable with that.
Okay.
Map. I'm so excited about this. I think that's the world map. I think that's the world of like whatever planet we're on, which is clearly not Earth.
No.
Perfect. Love it. Get me away from here. JK, I love it here. Earthling for life. I think that's our world map.
We have Ginger Island on there. There's the potential for there to be another island. And that's what I'm saying. If he wanted to, and clearly he does, I think Stardew Valley, the game, Concern Abe and his team could keep expanding for years and years to come. And people would eat it up because the day that we are able to go to Suzu City, I'm gonna freak out.
Oh,
I'm gonna panic.
Gonna
cry. I'm gonna yell at someone. Me and what are you doing? Cancel all my plans.
Yeah, everybody, shut up. I'm going to Suzu City.
So I'll get like a distress a call and be like, are you okay? Like I, there's
from
no,
Pierre
there's no
in the middle of the night.
The best call that I ever get is when the bear calls me to say that they love the honey and they're so glad I introduced them to it. And I just hope that we don't have like an addiction situation going on, but he seems excited. Surely, and I would love
people, and by people I mean bears like things.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. I would love a shirt with the bear. I'm just saying.
Just the bear?
The bear with the image of him and the honey. It has to happen. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do I have to show you the image? Because we can.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but I would still love to see that beautiful image.
Okay, let me find it.
Okay, anyways, so there's a cute little kitchen to continue. There's a couple of gorgeous, there's a pie. Ah, folks, like I said, there's so many sweet little details in here. There's so much art on the walls. There's a calendar. There's a table covered in beverages, beautiful chairs, a lamp. Gorgeous.
I love putting food on the table. I always forget to do that. And it just makes so much sense because otherwise you cook really beautiful food and it's just in the fridge.
Yeah. Yeah. I love decorating with food as well. I really enjoy this person's home.
There's another image of their home.
I've moved over to the other image and I see a tea set, which I have only heard of. I have not seen. I understand it's a pretty rare item.
Mm-hmm. You potentially can get it gifted to you during the last festival of the year when people exchange gifts. Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a rare one. It doesn't happen that often. I've gotten it before fairly quickly. And then there are other saves where I don't have it yet. And it's been years. So, yes. Okay. But I love this room a lot. It's a great use of space because in that first room, we had the bed and we had the kitchen, which I love the easy access. And now we have this really great living room station. And I believe that they are married to the blonde one.
Sam,
thank you. I believe that they're married to Sam because I see that there is a drum kit and then there's the TV, there are books. And I'm sure that some of the additional things like the plant and maybe the backdrop was created. I don't know because I've never married Sam. But that's like the extension of the house when you marry someone. They get like their own little room.
I'm seeing a sword.
Mm-hmm. That could have been – I don't know if that's Sam's or if that was placed there.
Okay. Wow. All right. Cool. Oh, incredible. Okay, gorgeous, gorgeous. Love the house. Thank you so much, Mia, for sending us these beautiful photos of your farm and your house. Folks, when you write in stardropteapodcast@gmail.com, please include farm pics. We would love to see your farm. We would love to see your sweet little houses. Please.
Yes, we love it so much. And this next email comes from Faye. Hello, Faye. So great to always talk to you. Greetings, Shirley and Hillary. I'm Faye from Faye's Farm. I wanted to say that I love the podcast and I binged it all in just over a week and I'm caught up on the mailbag episode. You have kept me sane while I'm working overtime on third shift. I'm really glad that we are there for you. Hillary, I feel your pain in not knowing so many helpful things because the game didn't tell me and no one knows how to play, except for, now, my 10-year-old. Your talk of conspiracy theories and movie casting has got me appreciating the game on a whole new level. Keep being your amazing selves and I can't wait for the next episode. Love, Faye. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Faye.
Yes. I love that they play with their family. I think that's such a really unique and beautiful way that parents can connect with their kids by doing something together that's like a really fun game. And you also see how they interact with the game, which can be very different than you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things that I just continue to love about this game is the number of different ways that you can play it. And it's so revealing about people, like in the best possible ways to see how they approach the game. And Faye, thank you so much for feeling my pain.
We live and we learn.
Ostensibly, but I just feel like not only is that true in the game, it's also so true in life. Just like, why are things so hard? How did people know how to do all these things? How am I supposed to know how to do all these things? But yeah, that's why it is so important to be in community with each other and to share the information that we have as we learn it so that you can, you know, save time not hoeing every individual square or not watering things one by one.
Unless you want to. And if you do, more power to you.
No, that's, I want to be kicking ass in those fucking caverns. That's what I want to be doing. I don't
want to
be.
Too bad. You have to do one square attempt. No, I am so glad that you figured that out because it's amazing. That would also be another thing that would be great for a 1.7 update is an expansion of how much I can water at once.
Oh.
Because it does give you only a couple options. And if it could be a larger amount of space, that would be really neat.
Yeah. Why can't I just continue to scale that? Why can't I get so powerful and then just glug, 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 everything is watered in one fell swoop?
Especially if your watering can has that additional power that it is always full.
Bottomless. Mm-hmm. Like a mimosa.
I have that ideally. You want to do the next one?
Yeah, absolutely. I just love these emails so much. Thank you to everybody for writing in. Okay, so this, we've got photos on this one too, Shirley. Mm-hmm. Okay, this next one is titled Mayor Lewis. Hi, Shirley and Hillary. That's us. I love your podcast. It has brought me many laughs and given me much Stardew wisdom. I want to mention that I can commiserate with Hillary's previous situation of making... making the game more difficult. Okay, my people, we found each other.
Yes.
For example, I did not get a horse and stable until my fourth year.
But you did.
You did. Congratulations on your horse. What did you name your horse? I do not believe they included that in the email. Anyway, they continue. The point of this email is to share with you the trashing of Mayor Lewis's house. I discovered that you can gather trash from the trash catalog and spread it wherever you want. So naturally, I picked Mayor Lewis's home.
Hell yeah.
He gave no reaction or acknowledgement of the vandalism. Maybe it just happens to him all the time. Mm-hmm. Hashtag justice for Marnie. Best wishes, Lynette of Sandy Gem Farm.
I love it.
Gorgeous. That's so funny. This is so funny and so rude, and I love it. Okay, so that's what the photos are.
This is an amazing use of free will.
I love that. Congratulations on your free will. So, number one, their character has such good style.
Yes.
Their farmer has like gorgeous, gorgeous, bright purple long hair.
A little wave action, I think, too, which
absolutely.
Is nice.
A beach wave. Mm-hmm. Volume full of secrets. We love secrets here. They are wearing, I will call it a Wario-style shorterall outfit. For those maybe unfamiliar, it's a black overall shorts outfit with a purple shirt underneath and a really cool black cowboy hat up top.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's a complete look. And then silver shoes because yep. I like that just little pop of something different. And I bet yep.
The stats are also great.
Yeah, they could be. Oh, yeah. I see the stats crushing it. I want to talk about what you see outside of Lewis's house.
I see a lot of garbage. I see a lot of garbage out there. Yeah, there's, this is so rude. There's a pair of orange shorts on the ground, first of all. Oh, yeah, there's several different, looks like spilled cans, a bottle, a shirt, one of those six-ring beverage holders that sea turtles seem to be personally victimized by.
You should cut them up. If you have them, cut them up. It really helps, and that way, if they get recycled, they don't become a hazard. And then that couch.
Oh, the couch looks terrible. It is that mold? Are those cuts? Like
I think it's mold. It could be both. Yeah. Ugh. It's disgusting.
There's a nasty looking brown couch with like whitish gray spots all over it. There's also a tire and like one of those white plastic chairs that you attempt to sit on and then one of the legs betrays you.
Yeah. I mean, you should always check, but that's a staple in most Hispanic homes. And I love when the Bad Bunny album that just came out, the album cover is just these two chairs with palm trees behind it. And everyone resonated so much like, yes, absolutely. It's a timeless image. I love its use in this image as well. Now you also get to sit down and watch Mayor Lewis come by here and not react. I thought that not reacting was interesting because they react when you go into the trash. So interesting that they can't recognize that there's trash around them now too.
Yes, that's right. And I always felt like that's a really judgmental move. Because number one, who among us has not accidentally thrown something out and have to be like, oh no, wait, my retainer is in that Kleenex, you know? And then like, how am I supposed to... Right? Like if you're like, oh God, now I have to go through the whole experience of going into this garbage, and then you're trying to retrieve your retainer, and then somebody comes out being like, ew. You're like, oh my God. Oh my God. Could this day get any worse?
Probably could in Stardew Valley. Yeah. And the other thing is, who collects the trash? Who's doing the sanitation routine and who has the route to come through Pelican Town? What if it's me? Because I don't never see anyone collecting it. Again, who are they to judge if I could potentially be doing a really good service for the community? We don't want trash piling up.
No, we
don't. It's not good.
I am thinking about when the Tanuki's quests are all satisfied, that's when the garbage is removed from the town.
And like the sewer area as well, that debris that was left over time with the town, but also from Jojo Mart. But then
was
there's
that
still
from a ferry? Was that a ferry?
I'm looking this up. Cleans it up.
Yeah, what's the cleanup mechanism? I can't remember.
I do not recall. But even so, there's still going to be trash receptacles around the town because we have people who come by on different festivals. You know, if we are eating an ice cream, maybe want to get rid of the paper or whatever. Like, trash happens. And the most important thing that a city can do is ensure that someone's cleaning it up often. Whose job is that?
Don't know. Huh. Okay. I will look this up after.
Okay, please do.
But yeah, they have really literally trashed Mayor Lewis's house. There's a broken TV. There are cans all over the place. A plastic bag. More shorts. Rude. And also got his ass. Yeah, wow, that's so funny. It had never occurred to me to place things in other people's houses.
Yeah, I don't think I have either. And... I love that this is how we decided to decorate his home because he deserves it. So
he does.
I wonder if things end up disappearing. So one thing that happens in the game that I found out the hard way because I lost something that cost me a bunch of money and you have to remake it is that if you put something in the place of where an NPC walks, the item disappears. And so if you're decorating town, just know that if that's a regular walk path of the NPC, that item will be gone. And I'm talking about maybe you put your smoker there for fish, which I have, so I lost one because I forgot. Or I have put a chest there carrying some stuff before, like it'll disappear as well. So I'm wondering if as Lewis is walking in his home, if trash disappears that way.
I wonder.
Or does he get to live with the consequences of his actions?
Is that just how he lives now?
Yeah, the new aesthetic. The next email we have is from P. Cannon. The potato cannon was too long as a farmer name. I love that so much. It starts off with, hello, fellow Stardewers. A couple weeks ago, I was looking around Spotify for a Stardew Valley podcast, and I didn't find one that I liked until I found Stardrop Tea. Amazing. Aww. I got caught up, and I'm looking forward to the next episode. We hear you. And in the last episode, there were some debate on who the wizard's kid was. Have we ever thought that maybe Abigail and Jazz could both be the wizard's kids? Considering that he cheated on the witch, maybe the wizard is an iridium quality hoe.
Whoa! Okay.
Such a good insult. You are an iridium quality
iridium hoe.
Yes. How many other women has he been with in the valley? Maybe he is why Pam is drinking. Oh, shit. Or why Emily is into crystals. I think Emily could just be into crystals.
Okay. Yeah, let women enjoy things. Damn.
He may have gotten around. Keep up the great work. Sincerely, P. Cannon.
Mm.
I love that so much.
That's some gossip right there.
Yeah.
Love that.
I do think it's possible that the wizard might have multiple kids.
I agree. Yeah, in the wizard episode, we kind of got hung up on the fact of like which one is his kid. I mean, if he really is an iridium hoe, why not? I mean, who isn't his kid?
I feel like I should leave this town. There's too many problems. But it's like that song, You Can't Ever Leave. What is that? Hotel California? Do you know what
that's
I'm talking
right. about? I do. Yep, by the Eagles.
You can come anytime, but you can never leave. So that's...
You can check in. Yes. That's exactly right.
What is the song?
You can drop by whenever, but don't even think about trying to go anywhere. That's, I think that's how the song goes. Word of caution to everybody listening. It may seem like that's a fun karaoke song. It is a very long song. I need you to really, I'm serious, Shirley. I need people to really think about what they're getting themselves into before they think of doing Hotel California for a karaoke, because you can start the song whenever, but you will have to stick around to finish it. And it is exhausting.
I'm going to read a verse.
Like from Hotel word. California. We have more emails to get to.
I know. I'll be right there. Last thing I remember, I was running for the door.
You're really doing this.
To find the passage back to the place I was before. I'm trying to get out of this town. Relax, said the night man. Is that Lewis? We are programmed receive. You can check out anytime you'd like, but you can never leave. Guitar solo.
What does the guitar solo sound like?
I'm not going to do that one. That is Pelican Town. And to think now we have Abigail, potentially jazz related mm-hmm. to each other. And they talk about also wanting to leave. Everyone talks about wanting to leave at some point. Sebastian wants to leave. Penny says that she's been here her whole life and yep. she can't really leave. Are we in Hotel California right now?
Potentially. Well, I guess Willie doesn't talk about that because he's the only one that really bopping around on a regular basis. But one thing I want to come back to that I think one of the previous emails said is about Abigail like denying that she dyes her hair. No, does she ever deny that she dyes her hair, or is it Caroline who points out that Abigail does dye her hair?
I think that Abigail says that she used to dye her hair, but she hasn't in a while. So that's kind of like where the denying is coming from. She's saying that her hair is purple, but she hasn't dyed it in a long time. And as someone who has dyed their hair purple, it does fade away. So to keep it a really deep purple, you realistically do need to keep dyeing it often, unless you truly have deep purple hair. Okay. But color fades.
Oof, ain't that the truth? Okay, so the next email is entitled How the Addiction Started. Hello, fellow players. After listening to Mailbag and Perfection and binging all your past recordings, I have been encouraged to reach out to you. Yay.
You did that. I mean, I helped too, but you were definitely like, please email us.
Please email us. Yes. Please. Okay, they continue. I wanted to share a cute, funny story about how I got into Stardew. My now husband and I started playing back in 2018. I thought he was just dumb buying the game on PlayStation because there were zero instructions on how to play the game. Really? True. Would love if there were a bit more. Anyways, my husband would be next to me having a Stardew Wiki up as I would be playing. So it was a team effort. We played 100 hours within a week.
Yep.
And at that point, we knew we were addicted. I have played, I am sure not how many hours of Stardew, but my Switch says 1,000 or more. Wow.
It's wild.
I'm still learning stuff from your podcast. My husband and I recently started a joint game and he never played it. What? He would just sit there and watch. So once he got his controller on the Switch, I let him pick what farm layout he wanted. Little did he know how hard fishing was, and he chose the river farm. Aha, like we just said.
Yeah.
Which is my least favorite. I do love fishing in the game, and I actually help all my Stardew player friends level up on their games.
Hell yeah.
It has been fun watching my husband finally understand the struggle of caves and fishing. I love that you started a Stardew podcast, and I wish you could release one every single day. Because you are both super funny. Aww. I have shared this podcast with a few of my fellow players. Sending good vibes, Emily.
Oh, thank you.
That's so nice.
So sweet.
Yeah, we are definitely looking at how we can create even more fun stuff for you all. Shirley, you have really been cooking up some special things for yes. listeners.
And yeah. super excited. This is really funny though. I love how the different emails connect to each other, because I was telling you the river farm is pretty hard if you don't like mm-hmm. fishing. And fishing is a tough
so hard skill. Especially early on.
Yeah. So of course he picked one of the hardest ones, but then it wasn't helping. Very rude.
Rude.
Since then though, we have gotten an email confirming that everyone is playing an equal amount. Good. And I think that's important.
Yay. Yeah. One thing that I keep seeing in the emails is that folks are just burning down our back catalog. And I love that. So folks, thank you for sticking with us. And it is just so encouraging to hear the fact that folks are enjoying this and are even going back and listening to those early episodes when we were truly just learning. And we still are.
I love that. And I'm looking forward to continue to learn and grow.
Absolutely, so. Shirley. That's what it's all about.
This is a returning email from Mandy, who introduces us to the concept of potentially the mermaids also being sirens and doing something sneaky in the game.
Okay, say literally everything.
Yes. So this is an additional email, which I think is really beautiful, where they talk about that if they were to cast someone for the game, one thing that they would do is pick Christian Bale to voice Elliot, because they think that it really sounds like he would have the voice of Howl in Howl's Moving Castle. And I completely agree. I think that would be a fantastic choice for Elliot. The hair, just the way that he carries himself, reminds me a lot of Howl.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see it. You see the vision.
I do. Yeah. And they're both like, I mean, not Elliot, but Howl and Christian Bale are both real jerks. So makes sense.
Then they continue on about that they have turned their kids into doves at some point, which was also kind of sad, like if they lost something in a weird way, which I guess, because, you know, there was a little child living there and then they're a dove. So that definitely sucks for them. They really want to do a run where they get to marry and divorce everyone and collect their portraits. I get it. That's what I'm trying to do. And just have a wall of dateable characters in the farmhouse. Hillary's shaking their head at me. Look, it's an interesting take. And I'm really also just doing it for the portraits. So
I have a question about the game mechanics of divorce. Do you get an additional room, or is one of the rooms converted when you get married?
You get an additional room.
What happens?
Like a little pop out. Their room is gone.
Very weird. So Robin is involved in all of this. That's the implication.
I guess, yeah, but I never go to her to like go get an expansion. It just happens when you get married. Something I also didn't know was gonna happen when, like, the very first time I got married and I walked in my home, I was like, what is this? Who's in here?
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah. And then it was Emily, that first route, which there were crystals in the house. And then she also gets her own little crystal garden. Not everyone uses the little garden space that is to the right of the farm in some farms, I guess. That's just like empty. So that's used for some people. Like Leah has art things there. And then Emily has crystal garden.
Oh, anywho, my gosh. Okay, I have to do some research. I'm not getting married, of course, but
yeah.
You know,
you could always get divorced in the game.
No, thank
and
you.
then erase your memory. So no. They also talk about that they wanted to mention that perfection is so hard in Stardew Valley, the world. But however, no one is perfect, and society makes us believe we should be, and it's horrible. As humans, we're also unique and amazingly imperfect. I wish that was praised a lot more. I'm so glad you guys touched on that. Awesome episode as always. Can't wait to hear on the next one. She sent us photos of her tattoos, which is the turnip head and the mermaid. Very cute. And one brief thing that I want to talk about, most recent email from Mandy, because we've had some great correspondence, which has been really awesome, and I love it. And Mandy, if you're listening to this, it's always great chatting with you. Mandy thinks about, what if the wizard has more than one kid? So again, other people think that he is an iridium quality hoe.
Iridium hoe. That's so funny.
Yeah. I think the Abigail theory, of course, holds weight. If that's not the case, I do believe that Caroline being his daughter and Abby being his grandkid could be potential. Jazz is also a solid theory. You know what we don't hear about that often? Sebastian's dad. Like, does Robin ever reference his real father? I don't think so. I really think that the wizard could be his father. His interest in frogs and magical games, his love of void eggs, his loner-esque ways, just like Maddie boy Rasmodeus. I also realize Robin and the wizard are the only two divorced villagers. I don't know if a situation like that is because they had an affair that caused both the divorces, or if they got divorced for other reasons and they found comfort in each other with both experiencing the detriment of divorce. Anyways, it's a theory. I also wanted to expand on merpeoples and sirens. I have a theory about maybe Elliot is a merperson, that maybe the wizard turned human. His cabin is right next to the beach. He has voluminous hair that I feel like we as people associate with mermaids and mermen. His love for the waves and the water. His commentary about polluting the water, which is valid, but no one else seems to care about but him. Mm-hmm. He also has a painting of what I think is an emerald in his shack that Leah drew for him. What do sirens tend to go after? Pretty necklaces and treasure. It's a thought. Let me know what you think.
Lots there.
Blew my mind. Yeah.
The Robin having been with the wizard and Sebastian being the wizard's kid is really interesting. But also, I feel like there's so much around Pam that we don't know. I'm not talking about like her association with the wizard. I'm just talking about like the presence of divorce. Because again, like who is Penny's dad? I'm not saying it's the wizard necessarily, because she is the least magical person in that town.
But
woof.
That is a potential theory, because Penny has actually a bunch of books in her home about magical creatures. She has quite a few books about the history of the Junimos. She's also trying to figure out like what's going on outside of the city. So she is doing her research. She never really talks about it much, but she has those items in her bedroom.
Okay. Touche.
I know this because I snoop around everyone's home, but I don't leave trash, but now I will.
Amazing.
And then what do you think about Elliot being a mermaid? And I have a photo I need to show you. I sent a link and it's in my follow-up email, so please open it. Ready? Let me know when you're ready so we can do it at the same time.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Wow. Okay, we're going to include this in the show notes.
Absolutely.
This is, okay, folks, what I'm looking at here is a beautiful rendition of Elliot as a merperson. He is still wearing what would conventionally be referred to as a three-piece suit, mm-hmm. although because of the presence of the tail, it is a two-piece suit with the jacket and the vest and a tie that matches his beautiful green tail.
Yeah, I love it so much. And he's caressing his hair because the wind is sweeping it in front of him. I also love that this was drawn 7 years ago. So the theory of Elliot being a merperson has been around for a really long time. And what's amazing about the game is I only heard about it when Mandy emailed me. Like, there's so much about this game that is what is in the game, but also like what people create and like the community outside of it and the theories. It's just amazing. I really see it now. I think it's really possible. And then one thing that is also like very mermaid-esque is that that Elliot has a little crab in his pocket, kind of like the Little Mermaid, which is a crab named Sebastian. That's why I said that.
Incredible. Potentially, is the crab Sebastian? Right in?
Star Drop is T-Podcast? Sebastian a crab? Did a shrimp fry this rice?
Okay, that's
you're so keeping funny. That in. That's funny.
Absolutely. Yeah. Why would I deny the people? Okay, the crab in the pocket. Absolutely. That and the fact that Elliot is so like he loves it. He's like, oh my god, a little crab.
I've got a little crab in my pocket.
There's a little crab in here. That's crazy. Meanwhile, like that's a sea spider, folks. And like those things pinch. So I don't know. I mean, I'm a gardener, so I see a lot of bugs, but I don't know if I would be like, LOL, a crab in my pocket necessarily for me.
Yeah. Would I keep a little crab in my pocket? Hell no.
Yeah. Would I be like, oh, how charming, a little crab.
I call her Petunia. And then Petunia is like making me bleed. Nah, I already have a cat.
Step.
Yeah. So.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay. Wow. Elliot as a merperson. Okay. This next email is titled Grandpa. Hiya. I'm Rowan on Rowan's farm. Parentheses boring, I know.
No, not boring.
You're being very clear about who you are and whose farm it is.
I have 6 saves with the same name.
Boom.
It's my name.
I love clear communication. Yeah, I see nothing wrong with this. Okay, they go on. I wanted to say that on top of Grandpa's fireplace, okay, they're getting right to the point here. On top of Grandpa's fireplace seems to be a slightly younger, okay, here we go. Again. Yes. Mm-hmm. A slightly younger picture of Granny Evelyn, as well as a cutlass. Also, there's a symbol hanging on the wall that looks like a cross but has curved corners, which is also seen in the altar of Yoba in Pierre's shop. Hope this helped, and it would mean the world to me if you mentioned this in an episode. What's your next wish, Rowan?
Yes.
Oh, amazing. Okay, there's so much going on here. Once again, like twice. We're seeing a pattern. We're seeing a theme. Is Evelyn our grandma? Are Alex and I cousins? Yuck. What's going on with the cutlass example? Like, we haven't talked about that at all, I think.
No, grandpa being part of the religion of Yoba.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Which I'm curious about because it seems like that's something that's very popular amongst like the older generation of villagers, because there's not really any younger villagers that I see who have those symbols around? No.
No. Because Evelyn and George have it, and then George goes to the church area in Pierre's shop, church slash activity room. And then we also see Kent go to that. But I don't think anybody right. who's young is part of the religion, potentially.
Okay, so yeah, Kent would be the youngest. Okay, mm-hmm. interesting. Yeah, I'm curious because a cutlass is so traditionally, in my opinion, like a pirate sort of weapon, accoutrement.
And we have pirates in Ginger Island.
We do. Pirate Grandpa? Hmm?
Yeah. We have not discussed that theory. I think it's very possible.
Pirate Grandpa, folks, write in stardropteapodcast@gmail.com. Pirate Grandpa. Oh, they've also followed up with some info about their naming conventions for Ooh. Their pets and their sweet little chickens. Ooh. I love this. Okay. They said they have a cat named Lunch Meat. Perfect cat name.
Yes.
12 out of 10.
Yes.
And three chickens named, Pancetta, Chorizo, and Salami.
I love a theme.
I love this so much. I also love an ironic theme, right? Because mm-hmm. like pancetta, chorizo, and salami are typically not, to my knowledge, made out of chickens.
No, they would be for, I think, the pigs. So
the pigs, exactly.
It's so cute. I love it so much.
I love it. Thank you. Please, folks, tell us, what are you naming your animals? Write in. For example, my cows are all named after different like chocolate type things. So I have like cacao. I think I have like Cadbury, like that kind of thing.
I love that.
Yeah.
I've seen some people do their chickens as spices, which is really cute. Like paprika. And that's the only spice.
That's a spice. No, you're so right, Shirley. That is a spice. Spice up your chickens.
Like, paprika. And then blank.
Paprika, a second spice, a third spice.
Yeah, all spice.
Baby.
Anyway, baby sporty. Spice.
That's for our millennials out there.
Amazing. I also see that Rowan is looking at potentially changing the naming conventions for their sheep and their pigs and doing maybe the pigs as crisps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like, they're like chips for our American mm-hmm. listeners.
Yeah,
I love this. Yeah, please, folks, write in. How are you naming your animals? Oh, they also continued. There's a few different emails in this thread that they're getting a little bit of flack from some people saying that it's strange that they like to play games like Stardew Valley and Animal Crossing because them and their mom love playing them so much. Aw. Ooh, and then there's speculation about something with George and Grandpa that we don't know about. That's exciting. Yeah, I don't like that you're too old to play those games?
Yeah, could I say something?
Can we actually debunk this live right now?
Can I say
Shirley?
Something right now? Yeah.
I wish you would.
It is something that I wish that I knew when I was much younger, that if I enjoy doing something and it brings me a lot of joy, if other people don't like that, it actually really has nothing to do with me and a lot to do with them. Because if what I'm doing is causing absolutely no harm, which definitely playing this video game is not, mm-hmm. and it's bringing me closer to myself and maybe just figuring out like what makes me laugh, like you can find your humor in this.
And they said they're playing with their mom.
Exactly. And then you're connecting with someone who I hope by the sounds of how you have responded via other emails, you also recognize is someone who loves you very dearly. And I'm so excited that you have the time together to connect in that way. Yes. I wish that I could have had that when I was your age to be able to connect with my parents in a way where they cared about my interests and they wanted to make sure that they knew that they loved me in that way. Because a lot of times parents essentially think that it's enough to just put a roof over your head and make sure that you have food and not necessarily like really get to know who your kid is. And so the fact that that's happening for you is so amazing. And if other kids are not seeing that, it really is sad. I'm not going to speculate like exactly what's happening for them, but it usually starts at home. So if they're feeling so like called to make you feel down about something that brings you joy, I imagine that might be happening for them somewhere else, but that's not your responsibility. So you can continue loving what you enjoy. And I hope that you just continue to expand. We're so excited to hear from you and know that no matter what, you are incredibly special and It's amazing that you are also really sweet and kind. And I'm excited for you to continue to grow and keep getting older, because we are over 30 and love this game.
Love this game.
The age does not matter.
There's welcome to this community. I also want to say welcome to this community that we have around this beautiful game. Because, and Shirley, like you said in the Symphony episode, there are so many people who are such fans of this game and it resonates so deeply with the game that, like, we're selling out shows. Mm-hmm. People love this game. People of all ages. I mean, I didn't get to attend, but did you say it was mostly adults there?
Oh, yeah. And I didn't actually go into this as much in that episode, but the majority of people, I would say, were our age. And there were even people who were older. And I think that that is just incredible. So it's a game that is played by so many people. I think it's really cool. There's also a lot of studies about how playing video games helps with different things and modalities, like, later on, and the ability to have, like, really great hand-eye coordination and make decisions is a really neat thing that games provide for us. So there's... Yes. There's an emotional aspect, but also, like, scientifically super helpful also to play games.
Yes. Yes. I've seen that as well about, like, Alzheimer's prevention, mm-hmm. that the more video game engagement a person has, the more resilient their brain can be, which is so cool. And I also love the fact that we've seen not one, but two different people in this series of emails alone that are talking about how they are playing in, like, a parent-child pairing, mm-hmm. which I feel like is really great, especially for younger kids, teens and tweens, because this game does get into some pretty challenging stuff, as we've addressed in the past. And I just love the idea of younger players having trusted parent or guardian there to talk through some of those more challenging moments, mm-hmm. because it's a great way to open up those discussions that need to happen at some point, and to be able to have that kicked off in a really safe, controlled way. Oh, am I going to cry?
Yeah, because imagine being a little kid and you want to go talk to your parent and ask them a question and they're like, what? And all you want to know is Sebastian a crab?
And then and, like, if he is,
and then,
what does
and
that
then
mean?
It's not a safe environment.
Truly, yeah. Yeah. But, like, and then you, and then somebody gets mad at you for, like, asking if Sebastian is a crab.
And I say,
and then
that
they're
as
like,
a joke,
are
but
you, it, do you think you're a crab? And you're like, this is, I don't know
what's
if
happening
I'm a crab.
Yeah.
I'm so young.
I said it as a joke, but I'm completely serious about it. The ability to be curious, ask questions, and also play is something that is not limited to an age. And I hope that we all can find ways to do that, because that is really also how we can build better community, but also free ourselves from, like, what the world is expecting of us that is not possible. The last thing I'll say is that we're trying to, like, also, like, justify playing the game and just, like, everyone's doing it. But really, at the end of the day, if you love something and it brings you joy, that's enough reason for wanting to do it.
Truly. Yeah. Full stop. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love the community around this game so much. That's why I jumped to it. But Shirley, you're totally right. Yeah. If something brings you joy and you're not hurting anybody, that's it. That's all you need.
Ugh, but you get back to those mines, get the best trinkets.
Back in there. You get back in there. Yeah. Hold on. Yeah. Everybody stop crying. Get back in those mines.
We got winter's coming. We have work to do.
The children yearn for the mines.
Well, amazing, amazing episode. And these were some of the amazing emails that we have received. I have, again, as I said before, have loved being able to have a continued conversation with people. And I'm really excited to hear from other people as well. So thank you.
Yes, please, folks. I know I joke about it a lot, and I am also 100% serious. We love getting your emails. We love responding to your emails. We love reading them on the show. Keep them coming. StarDropTPodcast@gmail.com.
Wait, I have one more email to read. It's the support chat. Just kidding.
You got me.
Oh my God.
Thank you for listening. And if you have some StarDrop tea to share with us, email stardroptpodcast@gmail.com.
Follow to get all of our upcoming episodes as soon as they land, and rate this episode 5 star drops.
Our cover art is by Brianne Burnell, and our theme music is by Eggward. Links to both their work are in show notes.
Make sure to take good care of yourself and your community. Bye.
Bye.